Good evening, Agutiyar, everybody, Agut Moyed. Tonight's Dibrei Torah should be the Ilei Nishmas Chana Bal Shmuel, Hani Gross, as well as Yaakov Ben Gershon HaKohen, Jack Cooper, whose yard sites are this evening on Hoshana Rabbah. They should have an aliyah in the schus of our Talmud Torah. So there's a big discussion in the Achronim about an Avel being makif with Hoshanah, so about an Avel going around when one is in, unfortunately, when one is finding oneself within Yud Beis Chodesh, or certainly within Shiva, so there's a question as to whether or not that person should go around with the Hoshanos or not. So the Beis Yosef quotes this minug from the Kolbo, from one of the early Rishonim, and he writes that the Kolbo said that one who is in Avelos should not go around, should not be makif with the Hoshanos. And the Beis Yosef himself says he doesn't understand it. His lashon is v'divrei teimahem. I don't understand why the Kolbo says that an avil shouldn't go ahead and participate in. I don't understand why the Kolbo feels that an avil should not participate in the hoshanos like everybody else. Says the Beis Yosef, lama yapsidu ha'akafa. Why should he lose out just because he's in avelus? What does avelus have anything to do with Hoshanas? V'chein Nagu, says the Beis Yosef, lahakif hafilu ha'avel atzmo. The Avel, even himself, says the Beis Yosef, goes around like everybody else. So this finds itself in Shulchan Aruch as well. And in Tafrei Samach, the Ramah disagrees with the Beis Yosef, with the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah says that somebody who has an Avelus during the Yom Tov of Sukkot, either Shiva or Yud Beis Chodesh, the Ramah says that we have the Minig and Minig Ashkenaz that we do not tell the Avel to go and participate in the Hoshanas with everybody else. Rather, says the Ramah, the Avil should be mechubed with holding the Sefer Torah, and if there's more than one Avil, then he should just sit in his place. He should not go around with everybody else. Ay, it's Avelis for Hesya. So the Shach and Yaradeya in two different places, in Shin Sadi Gimel as well as in Simon Tuf, the Shach really discusses what the parameters are of Avelis for Hesya actually are, and they really seem not to apply at all to this case. But either way, the question is, why is Minik Ashkenaz so? Why is that we have the practice that an Avil does not participate along with everybody else in the Hoshanos? What in fact is the connection, like the Beis Yosef asked? Why should we say that he should be mapsed himself to Hakafas just because he happens to be in Avelis? What does that have to do with the Hoshanos? So the Vilna Gaon... So let's first get... It's not the same as Hakafas. Let's first get through Hoshanos. If we have more time, we'll get to the Hakafas. So the Vilna Gaon writes in Tafrei Samach, the Bach writes the same thing as well, that in fact the reason why Minig Ashkenaz is not to allow the Avil to participate is because we know it says Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yamim. We're supposed to have a Chiyuv of Simcha, and he says for some reason the Hoshanos is some sort of expression of our Simcha. So the Avil, who's not let to be in a state of Simcha, should not participate along with everybody else because he cannot be Mesameach during the time of his Avelus. Now, we know that an Avil is not allowed to learn Torah during Shiva. That's a Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chafalaf Amid Beis, where the Gemara tells us, Avil Asr Likris B'Torah. This is their rights. Rabbeinu Yaakov, one of the Balei HaTosfos, said, I think that was Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Yaakov is Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ahalim, so his name is really Yaakov. His name is Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that an Avil is not allowed to learn anything. Why? Because the chance for him to have a Shiva period, the chance for him to have a time where he's just going to sit and think or make all of his thoughts come together about what the significance of the loss actually is, we don't want him to be distracted with anything else. So that includes Talmud Torah as well. So that's where Rabbeinu Yaakov, that's where Rabbeinu Tam actually holds halacha lemaisa, that an Avil is not allowed to learn any Torah at all. However, we know that the minig is not like that. We hold like the other day in Tosfos that the only time the Gemara says an Avil is Asr Likras B'Torah is Torah that's going to be Mesameachim. Because the Torah says, B'kudi Hashem Yishar Mesam Chilev, the Torah is what makes us happy. So therefore, Tosfos says, during Shiva, one is not allowed to be in a state of happiness. So we say he's not allowed to learn Torah. But what about learning through the Kinnus? What about learning through Eicha? What about learning through Hilchos Avelus? That doesn't make us particularly happy. Obviously, you have to think about who's giving the Shir. You can have a Shir on Avelus that's very happy also, very exciting. However, the Pashtus is that when one is learning Hilchos Avelus, so that doesn't bring a person to a state of happiness. So we hold that you're allowed to learn Dvar Maharaim on Tisha B'Av or Rachmana Litzlan during Shiva. You know, the Birka Yosef talks about this. What about if you're going to have a Geshmaka Lamdus Hilchos Avelus? Are you allowed to do that, or do we say no? When you say that you're allowed to learn Dvar Maharaim, that just means you're allowed to go through the Dinim and Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to learn through the Gemaras quickly, but to go and be Ma'ayan into the Sugyas, this is a whole Shaila in the Birka Yosef, and it's talked about in the Achronim. Whether we should allow it or not, it's known that the Rugged Shaver, they quote that the Rugged Shaver, when he was sitting Shiva on one of his children, actually, So they write that the Ragu Chavar used to sit Yamam Valayla during the Shiva period, haraving over a sugya and writing down his chidushim, and it became a big discussion of the Gedo at the time whether that was right or wrong. And they approached the Ragu Chavar and they said, "Well, you know, you're getting so involved in your learning. The Torah says, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Sam Chilei, but we have a heter for you to learn when you're an Avelis, but only to learn to a certain degree. You're sitting here and learning like regular, you just happen to switch the Lima to learn Hilchas Avelis, but that doesn't count." So they got into a whole discussion, and basically the Ragu Chavar said that it's Pikuach Nefesh for me. So you can say whatever you want, the Drei Ahin, Drei Aher, and say that the Torah said you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that. It's Pikuach Nefesh, what can I do? If I'm not going to learn for a week, I'm just not going to make it. So that's what the Ragu Chavar said for himself. So for most of us, that's not, unfortunately, where we're holding. But basically, we hold that Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev, the Torah is Mesameacha. So therefore, an Avil during Shiva, who's not allowed to be in a state of Simcha, is also not allowed to learn Torah. Now that it's Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, it's worthwhile to point out as well, there's a famous Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samaches, the Gemara has it in Beitza as well, a Machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua, how one is supposed to serve himself during Yom Tov. Is someone supposed to do Kula Lachem, Kula Lashem, or do we assume, like Rabbi Shua, that you do Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem? So Rabbi Lezer holds, you have the option. Either you can spend all day eating and drinking, fressing, having a great time, or you can spend all day davening and learning and not eating at all. And either way, you'll be mekayim the mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha. Ask the Marshal on the Gemara there, what do you mean? It says v'samachta b'chagecha. So how can Rabbi Lezer say that you have an option to sit and daven and learn all day long? Where am I going to get simcha? Zok the Marshal, what do you mean? Ein lecha simcha gedolah mizu b'kudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chilev. So of course you'd be mekayim. The chiddush of Rabbi Lezer is that even if you sit and eat all day and you don't learn a word, that's also going to be a kiyum mitzvah b'samachta b'chagecha. That says the Marshal is the Pshat and Rabbi Lezer in the Gemara there. So you see, we have this in many different contexts. Mishkanos Yaakov disagrees with the Marsha, he doesn't like it, but we hold like that. The Shagas Aryeh says that as well, that a person has option. Rabbi Lezer means it seriously. Rabbi Lezer means it seriously. If a person wants to spend his whole day learning on Yom Tov, that's good enough as well, because we hope Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev. We also just got finished with the Yom Naran, so it's worthwhile to point out as well, that the Ramah says in Tavkuf Pei Dalid, that the minig is that we give the Baal Tokeya an Aliyah on Rosh Hashanah. So where does this come from? The Acharonim are bothered. Why this minig develop? Where does it come? Stam, we want to be mechaber the Baal Tokeya. Let's say he's not such a bekavdik a person. So the Levush writes that the reason why, interesting, he says, is because we need a person to be calm, to be content, to be happy when he's going up to blow the tekiyas. Otherwise, they're not going to come out good. So what's the best way to make someone happy? You give him an Aliyah. Give him an Aliyah. He gets to learn Torah. Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev, Zok the Levush. That's why the Ramah Paskin, that you should go ahead and give the Aliyah to the Baal Tokeya, in order that now, after he gets his Aliyah, he's going to be happy, not just for the Kavod, but also because he had an opportunity to learn Torah on Rosh Hashanah. Many people don't always have that chance. So he said, and after he has a chance to learn some Torah, now he's going to be able to do the Tekiyas properly. Now you'll think, well, what's the difference? Either way, the minig is that we should give the Aliyah to the Baal Tokeya. Who cares what the reason is? The difference is, the Seichemet points out a very interesting nafkamina. Seichemet says that the minig developed, that there are some Bali Tokeya who knew that they were going to get Shlishi or Revi on Rosh Hashanah, and they said, don't give it to me, be Mechabed my son. So the Stechemet says, he thinks this minig doesn't make any sense, if the Levush is in fact correct. The whole reason why we give the Baal Tokeya the Aliyah is because we want to make him happy, Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev, that he gets to learn Torah, then he doesn't have a right to be Mechabed his son, he doesn't have a right, it's not his kibbutz to give to someone else. If we always give Shlishi to the Rav, and one week the Rav says, you know what, give it to my son instead, give it to this guest instead, that's his prerogative. But if the Baal Tokeya is supposed to get it for the reason of making himself happy, it's not going to help. Give it to his son. Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev is only if he's going to learn Torah. So so we do know that during the Bev Shiva, one is supposed to be limited in the amount of simcha that one is supposed to have. The Torah Tamima points out in Sefer Dvarim, where the Pasuk says, V'simach Hasishto Shana Rishona, that a person is supposed to be Msameach, his wife, the whole first year after marriage, and there's a whole discussion in the Achronim if that's really literal, if Shana Rishona is a real concept, La Halacha, or it's just something that our generation has picked up on. But either way, it used to be something. The Ritva writes in the beginning of Maseches Ksubas, the Ritva writes Beferush, that the whole first year, there was some element of Simcha, and in fact, the Tur writes La Halacha, that he thinks whenever a chassan and kala come into a room during the whole first year of Shana Rishona, we should say Shah Simcha b'ma'ono in the benching. Because really we're supposed to be feeling a tremendous simcha in the whole first year of the marriage. It's not like something that's a lofty concept that we don't believe in. This is really paskin lahalacha. The Torah says nowadays it happens to be, we don't know how to be mesameach properly, and we're not really so happy for everybody else's simchas. So we absolved ourselves of that chiv of saying Shasimcha b'mona. But really, the way it's supposed to be is v'simach esishto shana rishona. A person's supposed to spend the whole first 12 months of the marriage being misameach on cloud 9 and don't leave that cloud at all. Says the Torah Tamima, quoting some rishonim, that the same way one has a chiv to be misameach for 12 months when the person gets married, so too says the Torah Tamima, quoting others, Avel, after losing a relative, is also supposed to have the reflective kavanah. The person is supposed to have 12 months of a period of time where you just reflect about the loss that was just that just happened on this family, that just happened to this person. And that's why we have the hafachti chageichem le'evel, the pasuk says in Eicha, that sometimes we have in the Jewish calendar, sometimes we have a total switch from something which is supposed to be simcha to something which is supposed to be an avela. So over here as well, the Torah Tamima suggests that the same way we have 12 months of a simcha after a marriage, so too we have 12 months of an avelas after a person suffers a loss. So whatever it is, we know that there's an avelas of Shiva, we know that there's an avelas of Yud Beis Chodesh. The problem is, if you're going to say that the reason why we tell an avel, again, that's where we started, the reason why you tell an avel not to participate in the Hoshanas is because it says, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, and the avel is not allowed to be besimcha, that's a major problem. There are two problems for that. Number one, it says whenever a person eats kachim, the pasuk tells us very explicitly, v'zavachtasham, v'achaltasham lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, and whenever a person eats kachim, one has to be in a state of simcha. And therefore, Tosfos says in Ma'akatan that a einin is not allowed to eat kachim, because obviously someone who suffered aninus is in a terrible state of being, and one is not allowed to eat kachim. However, throughout the Shiva, and certainly throughout the Yud Beis Chodesh, one would be allowed to eat kachim. Why? Ah, you have to eat kachim with smachtim of Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim. So obviously you see that there are different degrees of the limitation of simcha that one is supposed to have throughout the year. So why do you assume automatically that a avil has to have such a severe limitation of simcha during the Yud Beis Chodesh that he's not even allowed to go around Hoshanas? He's allowed to eat kachim. He's allowed to eat kachim during the first year, so why should he not be allowed to go around and do Hoshanas as well? And not only that, one of the tshuvas from the Divrei Malkiel writes a beautiful kasha as well, and he says, where do we ever find such a thing? You're going to tell an avil during Yud Beis Chodesh that he shouldn't be mekai in the mitzvah of Simchas Yantif? Because Simchas Yantav means you have to eat basar v'yayin, you have to be happy. You're going to tell him, no, that's not for you, because you're in Yud Beis Chodesh, and during Yud Beis Chodesh, you are not allowed to be happy. We would never say such a thing. The mitzvah of Simchas Yantav is something that everyone's mechuyev to do, whether he's in Avelus or not. So whenever there's a mitzvah chiyuvis that's incumbent upon me to do, we tell the person he must go ahead and do it. Ah, you tell a novel to go to a chasana, you tell a novel not to attend some sort of simcha. So the Divrei Malkiel says, no, that's only because at the Simcha there's going to be Kalas Rosh, there's going to be other things going on, he's going to be distracted, it's not going to be completely focused on the Simcha, so therefore we tell Nabal that it's better that he should stay away. However, says the Divrei Malkiel, we know in Shulchan Aruch it says in Shin Sadi Aleph, what happens if a Chasana is in Yud Beis Chodesh and he wants to get married? Do we tell him to hold back his Chasana because he's in the middle of Avelus? Of course not. It's going to bring him to a level of Simcha. What if one is the father or the mother of the chasen or kala? Would we tell them not to get married because the parent is in avelus? Of course not. We would tell the avel to go. So Sota says the Divrei Malkiel, you see from there, that when there's a mitzvah of simcha that nobody else can do other than myself who's an avel, I go ahead and I do it. So ask the Divrei Malkiel, why should Hoshanas be any different? You're going to tell the avel, just because he's in Yud Beis Chodesh, he's not allowed to participate in this mitzvah, in this minig of Hoshanas? Why should he be different than anybody else? Why should he be different than the father of the chassan or the chassan himself who's allowed to get married during Yud Beis Chodesh? And we don't assume that his isra of simcha should shter his own getting married if it's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon him. So this is a fascinating kasha that the Divrei Malkiel asks. And the Divrei Malkiel gives an absolutely beautiful teretz, and he suggests that perhaps the reason why we tell an avil not to participate in the Hoshanas is for a completely different reason altogether. And he suggests that it's based on the Mishnah in Midos. The Mishnah tells us that on the Harabayis, everybody used to walk around the Yamin. When you came onto the Harabayis, everyone turned to the right. However, the Mishnah says, Misha Irlo Avel, somebody who unfortunately is in the middle of Avelos, when he came to the Harabayis, they used to walk the other way, counterclockwise. Makith Lismol. Why? Because this way, anyone who noticed somebody who's walking in the opposite direction would automatically stop the person and say, why are you walking in the opposite direction? And right away, the avil would say, the reason why is because I just suffered this and this loss. And then people would offer a bracha, they would offer tanchumen. Just parenthetically, the Shulchan Aruch says over here in Ilchus Dalad Minim, it says that the Minig Ashkenaz is to be makif derech yamin binanuim. Minig Ashkenaz, not Minig Sfar, Minig Ashkenaz is to be makif in a clockwise fashion. When we're doing the Dalad Minim, when we do the Nanuim, we go around like this. So the Levush, I'm sorry, the Magen Avram there quotes the Levush, that the reason why is because Yamin Hashem Ramema. Fine, okay, so he has a pasuk, very nice. But then, the Magen Avram quotes an interesting discussion, what about a person who's an Iter Yad? What about somebody who's a lefty? So maybe you should say the lefty should go the other way, because that's the stronger side of the body. So listen to the Magen Avram's Raya, why he feels that that's not correct. Says the Magen Avram as follows. He says, because what would you say in the Harabayis? The Mishnah tells us in the Harabayis, you always go to the right. And it says somebody who has an Avil, he goes to the left. And why is that? The Mishnah says, because anyone who sees somebody walking the opposite direction right away knows that you're an Avil, they'll give you a bracha. So says the Magen Avram, if you're going to say that a lefty always walks the opposite way, so then we lost the whole simin on Harabayis. Anytime you see somebody walking the left side, you're not going to give him a bracha anymore. You're going to say, oh, maybe he's a lefty. He doesn't need my tanchumen, he doesn't need my brachas, and you're just going to ignore him. So he says, you see a raya from the Mishnah, that obviously a lefty does the same thing as the righty. You don't switch just because you're a lefty. In other areas of halacha, obviously you have to figure it out. But over here in Hilchas Nanuim, we're on Sukkos, we have to point it out. In Hilchas Nanuim, the Magen Avraham brings a raya from that very Mishnah, that when a person is shaking the Dalad Minim by the Nanuim of Halel, one is supposed to shake in the clockwise direction, and even if a person is a lefty, we also tell them to shake the same as everybody else, and the raya is from that Mishnah and Midos. Well, it says the Divrei Malkiel. So what's going to happen? In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you used to have everybody surrounding the Mizbeach going around in one direction. Now you're going to tell me that an Avil, who's never allowed to go in that direction, you're going to tell me that an Avil should spin around the other way? So he says, that's going to look like Shtei Torahs. You're going to have two people performing the same mitzvah, one right next to the other. One is going around this way, the other is going around the other way. You have a Gantz Klal Yisrael, millions of people surrounding the Mizbeach like this, and just a couple of Avelim surrounding the other way. So says the Divrei Malkiel, that's going to look like Shtei Torahs. We can't have such a thing. So he says, he suggests that perhaps in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when they actually did the real mitzvah of Arava L'Mizbeach, an Avil never participated there, because there's no way to do it. An Avil isn't allowed to be like everybody else and circle the same way they all do. But the Avil also can't go the opposite direction, because that will look like a bizayin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Divrei Malkiel, since we know in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, according to the way he understands it, since we know in the times of the Beis HaMikdash the Avil didn't used to join everybody else when they would be makif the Mizbeach, because there was no way for him to properly do it, well, since our whole minig nowadays of doing Hoshanas is just Zechel HaMikdash, so why should we have any different than the way it actually was? So therefore he gives his own suggestion, a very novel one, not exactly like the Vilna Gaon, as to why it is that nowadays we do not have an Avil go ahead and participate in the Hekif Arava that we all do every day of Sukkis, because he feels that it's done it to the Beis HaMikdash, and in the times of the Beis HaMikdash itself, an Avil did not participate in the Hekif HaMizbeach. Let's just close. I saw a beautiful insight. Tonight is Hoshana Rabba. It's a time to learn a little bit, so we'll just say an extra 2 minutes of learning. And for those who are interested, there's Tikkun Lel Hoshana Rabba after the 8 o'clock Ma'ariv, and also a shiur by Rabbi Beckhofer at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11. For those who want to come back, for those who don't, we'll just say 2 minutes more of Divrei Torah for those who are a little bit too tired. But I saw an absolutely brilliant insight of the Beis Yisrael. We mentioned before that an Avil is not allowed to learn Torah because it says, B'kudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chilev. The Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, has an unbelievable Ha'ara. He points out that the Kli Yakar writes in Parshas Toldos that Yaakov and Esav couldn't get along, and Esav says to his brother, Yikruvu Yimei Eva Lavi, I can't wait for Yitzchak Avinu to die, and then I'm going to go after my brother Yaakov. So Rashi already has the famous comment. Why is he waiting for Yaakov Avinu? Why is he waiting for Yitzchak to die? Because of Kibud Av V'Aim. He didn't want Yitzchak to have the Agmas Nefesh of seeing one brother hating another brother, one brother killing another brother. So he said, you know what? I'll keep it up. I'm going to wait for Yitzchak Avinu to pass away, and only then am I going to start up with Yaakov Avinu with my brother. However, the Kli Yakar says something Meiridik. Kli Yakar says, no, that's not the Pshat. He says, because Kozman, that Yaakov Avinu, is living his regular life and Yitzchak is alive, Yaakov's learning. I can't get him. The Torah is going to be matzil him. It's going to be Megan on him. I won't be able to penetrate his life. I can't take his life away from him. However, when my father dies, and the Avil is not allowed to learn Torah during Shiva, so now he's not going to have the protection of the Torah anymore. So says the Kli Yakar, that's why Esav HaRasha comes along and he says, Yikruvu Yimei Evalavi, and now my brother Yaakov is not going to be allowed to learn. That's when I'm going to get him, because then he won't have the protection of the Torah. Ask the Beis Yisrael, what do you mean? We paskin that an Avil, even during Shiva, is allowed to learn. What he's allowed to learn is a different story, but he is allowed to learn. So what does it help? Whatever he's going to learn, Yaakov Avinu wasn't wasting time during Shiva. I'm sure he was steiging away like the Rebbe knew. So if the Yaakov Avinu was going to be learning during the Shiva anyway, so then what is it going to help? Still, even if he's going to wait till Yitzchak Avinu passes away and he thinks that his brother is going to limit his learning, so to speak, what is it going to help? He'll still have the Hatzalah because he's still going to be learning during the Shiva. Said the Beis Yisrael, an unbelievable insight. He says, because a person who is in a state of Avelus is not going to learn Torah B'Simcha. And if someone doesn't learn Torah B'Simcha, that is not Torah. And Beis Yisrael, even if a person is going to learn during the Shiva, it won't be Matzil him. And that's what Esav HaRasha meant. Yikruvu Yimei Evalavi, I'm going to wait for my father to die. And even if my brother is steiging away during the Shiva, it's not going to help him because he won't be learning that Torah B'Simcha. And if a person doesn't learn Torah B'Simcha, that Torah is not worth anything. That's what he writes, and we know that Avnei Nezer talks about this in the Eglei Tal, how we know a person has to learn Torah B'Simcha, because it says, Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chilev, and because it's Simchas Torah, we'll close with the following insight that the Gemara has. We know on Simchas Torah we're going to end the Torah, we're going to lay in Parshas V'Zos HaBracha, and the Gemara in the beginning of Baba Basra has a whole discussion about the last Shmona Psukim Sheva Torah, who wrote them. Is it really considered a part of the Torah or not? I once heard an unbelievable pshat in the Gemara. I'm not sure if it's emes or not. Everyone could decide on their own. But the Gemara has a discussion whether or not the last Shmona Psukim Sheva Torah are really considered a part of the Torah. Says the Gemara, the last Shmona Psukim Sheva Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu Kasvan Bedema. And everyone has their own pshat. What does it mean, Kasvan Bedema? I once heard a pshat. Perhaps it means Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it when he was crying. Literally, he knew he was going to lose his life. So that's why maybe they don't really have a status of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't besameach at the time. Moshe Rabbeinu was depressed. He knew that his life was over, and he was writing the Torah anyway because he had to. The Ribbono Shel Olam told him, but perhaps, says the Gemara, that doesn't have the status of Torah. Those Shmona Psukim Sheva Torah, even though they were written by the greatest Adon HaNaviim, by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, because they were written bidema, perhaps they lost their status as Torah, because Torah always has to be in a state of tremendous simcha. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zocha to a good kibbutz diyor. We should have the Surah Tovus this year, and a good and fitl to everybody. We'll see you later at 8 o'clock or at 10 o'clock for this year. A good year, everybody.